Thank you, guys. Man, the wasn't dueling banjos, it was dueling basses. I got a really filled out the sound there this morning. It was really fun. Yay. I was having fun with AI this week, and I'm not a big AI person. I was having fun, and I asked AI to, because we're talking about Lot this morning, and I said, give me a 2-second summary of the story of Lot using the slang of Gen Alpha. So Gen Alpha, they're the high school age kids now, and I've been out of youth ministry long enough where I don't get the lingo anymore. And so I had to do a little research, and I was sharing this with Joe and Marcia, and they said, what in the world does this mean? So this, according to AI and Gen Alpha slang, is a 2-sentence summary of the story of Lot. Lot finally got that main character energy when he secured the prime high aura land in the Jordan, leaving Abram to NPC in the desert. We'll figure out what that means in a second. But his whole vibe took a massive L when Sodom got nuked, forcing him to exit the chat and hide out in a cave with zero riz left. What in the world does that mean? There was we had somebody helping out, pulling some weeds. He goes, yeah, dude, I get that. I'm like, what? I said, so what does riz mean, dude? He goes, oh, that's charisma, man. He doesn't have any charisma or credibility left. He's hiding out in a cave. You know, he exited the chat. And I've been away from youth ministry for a little too long. But it's interesting how Lot had a lot when he left. But when Lot came back, he starts in a place called Zoar, and he travels around, he gets to Sodom, and by the time he gets back to the land of Zoar, he had a lot. Lot had a lot. But by the time he got back, Lot didn't have a lot. Lot had nothing, not even his wife. And so we're going to see how Lot left Abraham to, and the acronym here is non-playing character. It is a video game term. And so Abraham is the hero. Lot is not the hero. And finally, all of a sudden, when Lot steps up to be the hero of his own story, he is not the hero. How many of us love the hero of the story? When we envision ourselves, we're Indiana Jones, we're Batman, we are the hero of the story, we're Superman. When we read the scriptures and we think about David and Goliath, you'd say, yeah, what would that be like if I was standing there in front of Goliath and I've got my sling and 5 stones? We place ourselves in the role of the hero. But more than likely, I'm probably not going to be the role of the hero. We want to be. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be the one who was calling on the name of the Lord. I want to be the one who was walking by faith, not by sight. I want to be the one who God says, I'm going to bless you and your descendants. I'm going to work miracles in your life. But more times than not, I am not the hero. More times than not, I would be one of the sniveling little wimps in Israelites' army going, somebody should really do something about that big giant. More times than not, I would be not Daniel, who has his windows open towards the city of Babylon going, and if anybody's listening, I'm praying to God. I'm over here, and you know, I'd be hiding under my bed and going, dear Jesus. If I were Esther, I'd just be happy that I wasn't going to be one of the ones killed. And so as we look at Lot this morning, we can say, man, look what you did. And you had the good life with Abraham. You were, by the time you left him, you had lots of wealth and you had herds and cattle and all these other things. How could you be so stupid? But yet when I look at my own life and I see the times that I have been incredibly stupid, Unfortunately, I'm a whole lot more like Lot than I ever give myself credit for, which is why the title of the message for the morning is A Lot Like Me and A Lot to Think About. So before we get into the text this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are the real hero of the story. You're the one who initiated the relationship with Abraham. You're the one who instituted the covenant relationship. You're the one who led him through the desert. He just said, yes, Lord. And it was a long walk of obedience in the same direction. Likewise, the life of Lot is a long walk of disobedience in the same direction. And after he comes out of the stupor, being unhypnotized by the charming allure of Sodom, he realized just how far he had gone, how far his erosion had happened. Lord, we don't want to be the hero. You're the hero. Lord, help us to walk a long walk of obedience with you. Lord, we know that both Lot and Abraham were righteous, but they didn't have the same experience. They didn't have the same relationship. And Lord, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, please get me out of the way so that your word is what is communicated. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, we are going to kind of do a little bit of a survey. So we're going to take a peek when Lot first shows up on the scene. We're going to see how the dispute started to happen and how he departed from Abraham. And you know, here's the thing. The verse in Genesis 13, just as a reference to it, says that the land could not support them both. Wait a minute. God gave Abraham the land from this horizon to that horizon. It's not that the land could not necessarily support them. It's that they needed to give each other some room to grow. And if they had just said, here's the boundary line, here's your territory, here's my territory, we can grow in grace together. It wasn't so much that the land couldn't support them. It was there was disputes. And the things inside of Lot were starting to show up in Lot's life among Lot's herdsmen, and they're having disputes. And in Abraham's wisdom, it is that he says, you know what? This isn't going to work, even if there's a boundary line, because it's not even mentioned. It's not even suggested that that would be the solution to the problem. It says, you take that. You do your thing. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God whether you're following me or not. And then Lot goes. This is the beginning of the end for Lot. And you know, it's just so fascinating to see just when that pivotal moment takes place, when we stop following God, when we stop being in fellowship with people of God and start walking our own direction. And when we start to walk our own direction, all of a sudden we find that we are lulled, that we are hypnotized, that the charming allure, as we mentioned earlier, just sounds so wonderful, and that we, by the time we wake up, by the time we realize where we are and what we've done, we've gone, I'm a long ways from where I started. Abraham realized, I am a long ways away from where I started of Ur, the Chaldeans. Lot says, I am a long ways away from where I started following Abraham, and then we had this dispute, and now I am in the middle of a skirmish, a God's destruction. See, here's the thing. When Abraham and all his family, they went to Egypt, Abraham couldn't wait to get out of Egypt. Doesn't say anything about Lot liking Egypt, but when he is looking at the plains, boy, that's a lot like Egypt. You see, Egypt, as we know, is always a symbol of sin and slavery to sin. And so when we start to live the Egyptian lifestyle, the Egyptian lifestyle will always take us to a Sodom destruction end. His journey into his compromise started in Egypt, ended in Sodom. Lot's compromise would not let him enjoy all of the things that God gave him for long. Lot was drifting closer and closer as Abraham is walking closer and closer to God. He's drifting closer and closer to Sodom. Romans 8, 5 and 6 tells us this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit of God. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to Sodom. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to a life of life and peace. We're going to see that as we kind of do a little bit of a review of the story of Lot here. It's the same story, but different perspectives. This is Lot's point of view. We've gotten Abraham's point of view, and their roads were running parallel, and now all of a sudden, we've done the Choose Your Own Adventure. Who remembers the Choose Your Own Adventure books? I love those. It's the little books, and it's a mystery, and if you want to go down the scary hallway, go to page 15. If you want to go outside and into the garden, go to page 35. So we've already gone to page 15, so now at we're taking the other end of the Choose Your Own Adventure, and now we're following along with Lot. We'll see that from his perspective. And as I'm working all through this week, I have to keep reminding myself, I can diss on Lot all I want. I can say how dumb this was, but yet somehow, 2 Peter calls Lot righteous. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says this, but God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. You know, it's interesting. He was attracted to it at first. Then when he realizes there's nothing here, there is nothing that is going to fulfill the inner longing of my soul. We don't know at what time all of a sudden Lot's heart changed, but we know that it did. As we'll see in chapter 19 this morning, all of a sudden he starts speaking out for God. He tells the men of Sodom, you ought not to do such an awful, wicked thing. And these men are saying, you moved in as an outsider to be like us, and now you would be our judge? In other words, who do you think you are to tell us what to do? You haven't spoken up till now. You haven't stood up for your God until now. Now all of a sudden, you're speaking up for God, and his witness had been so compromised that they didn't take it seriously. I don't want to be that guy. Yes, we have that moment where we have our 180-degree turn. We are living the Egyptian lifestyle. We're living the Sodom lifestyle. And then God turns around. God turns us around, and we start walking the other direction. And the people around us go, wait a minute, you were walking this. And they don't get it. They don't understand. But then it's this long walk of obedience. It says, maybe this guy's serious. This guy's life is starting to change. He has more peace. He is more worried about the things of the Spirit. He has life and peace in his everyday existence. And I'm still walking this way, and I have all the pleasures that this world has to offer. You know, I thought he was crazy when he turned around. Now all of a sudden his testimony, which didn't have any value, now all of a sudden is having credibility. Now we go, wait a minute. I like what he has. Maybe I'm the one that is wrong. We don't know at what moment that was, but thankfully we know that moment happened. And even though Lot is going to be a person who, as 1 Corinthians 3, 7 and 8 is going to say that that everything he had was burnt in flames, he himself will be saved only by great loss, as one getting through by the fire. You talk to so many people and they say, well, you know, I've accepted Jesus in my heart, and then their life has no evidence of this. It is almost as though they are using the gospel. They're using God's grace as the get out of hell free card. Say, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. You see, even though Abraham and Lot were righteous men, a righteousness not of their own, but by the grace of God, Abraham's experience was appearances from God, words from God, visions from God, promises from God, and a relationship that keeps maturing and expanding. Whereas, where in the world was Lot? Even before he left, where in the world was Lot when Abraham is building up an altar to the Lord? Where was he when Abraham is calling on the name of the Lord? He's worshiping the Lord. Yes, he's probably there and participating, but what would happen? What do you think? This is just letting our minds go a little bit, and what do you think would happen if the story was different and Lot also built an altar? Lot sought God. Even if Lot had gone to Sodom, if Lot had this growing relationship, Lot would have been a whole lot more like Joseph and Daniel and Esther. You see, we do not fall into wickedness because we're in a wicked place. We fall into wickedness because of the wickedness that is already in our heart, and then that starts to show its ugly little head. Prosperity is always one of those things that is the test to help us understand whether we are following God because of his goodies or whether we're following God because of his goodness. And I want to follow God more because of his goodness, not just because I'm getting the fringe benefits of his goodies. You see, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Lot was not attracted to Sodom because it was an evil place. The evil inside here, the Egypt that he didn't let get out of him, was what drew him there. And what drew him to maybe not participate. We talked about this last week. How many times do we say, is this a sin? Well, if this isn't okay, you know, we get as close to the line as we can without sinning. This is exactly what Lot is doing. Whereas Abraham says, you know, take all of me. You know, I bow with my face to the ground. I'm trusting you that you will still give me a son at the age of 100. Lot is sitting there going, well, I'm not really sinning. I mean, I'm on the city council of Sodom, you know, but I'm not sinning. It's the heart issue of where we are. C.S. Lewis says this, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. Abraham is aiming for heaven and he is getting all of God's goodies. Aside, wait a minute, doesn't Jesus say this? Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things will be added on to you. Lot is seeking the things of earth and he barely escapes as though one going through the flames. Now, what I don't want to do is to create a false dichotomy that says, follow God and you get the goodies. Sometimes following God, there's heartbreak. Sometimes the burdens that God puts on our heart break our heart. Sometimes the trials and the testing and the suffering and the perseverance that is required to refine us like gold doesn't seem like God's goodies. Rich Mullins, one of my favorite musicians, says this: people ask me all the time, how do you feel close to God? And I say, I don't know. When I read the lives of most of the great saints, they didn't necessarily feel very close to God. When I read the Psalms, I get the feeling that David and the other psalmists felt quite far away from God most of the time. Closeness to God is not about feelings. Closeness to God is about obedience. I don't know how you feel close to God. I'm gonna pause there. I don't know. We think, okay, I want to feel close to God. I'm going to read my Bible. Sometimes it feels like we're alone in the room. I'm going to pray some more. Feels like our prayers are hitting the ceiling. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship with all my heart. And yet sometimes it feels like we are so alone. This is why David says, you know, come to me, O God. Answer me, O God. So how do we feel close to God? I know that if we obey, occasionally the feelings come, but I know that if we disobey, we don't have a shot at it. We don't have a shot at feeling the closeness of the Lord's embrace if we are intentionally putting ourselves in a place where we are outside of his will. He says, I'm here, I haven't moved. You're the one drifting towards Sodom. I am here, I want a relationship with you. And then we wonder, Lord, why do you feel so far away? We can do everything we can, and yet we still have to do what Abraham did and walk by faith. Well, let's take a quick peek here. We're opening up to Genesis 12. We're going to take a quick tour. We're going to go double speed here a little bit as we move our way up to chapter 19. But here we go in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. So Abram departed as the Lord instructed. Lot went with him. Right now, the stories are parallel. Verse 5, he took Sarah and his nephew Lot. Drop down to verse 10. At that time, a severe famine struck the land, forcing Abram, and this would be all of his household, including Lot, to go down to Egypt as a foreigner. We all live in Wisconsin, and I love cheese. And I always love the cheese that are hard to pronounce, like Gorgonzola, stuff like that. You know, I like string cheese, I like going to these little cheese chalets and trying things, and sometimes you go, that's really good, and sometimes you go, that's probably been aging on the shelf longer, that cheese can probably vote by now. It doesn't matter how nice the cheese is. It doesn't matter how old the cheese is. It doesn't matter how expensive the cheese is. As soon as that cheese is put on a mousetrap, it becomes fatal. And Lot is looking at Egypt. That's some nice cheese. I like what they're doing there. I like the fast and flashy lifestyle. I mean, I never do it myself, but you know, my neighbor, man, he certainly seems to have a lot of fun. And he's sniffing at the cheese. You see, the thing is no one is fast enough. And as soon as that trap springs and that wire is coming this way, no one is fast enough to get away from it. Egypt was the cheese. Egypt was, that smells really good. I'm going to get closer and closer to it. The trap was Sodom. And he's got closer and closer to Sodom. Finally, God, in his mercy, as he saves him. This is one of those times where you look at the trap and go, how did he get that? The peanut butter's clean and the trap isn't. You know, you think maybe he didn't put enough peanut butter. Maybe he's a really smart mouse. Or maybe he's dropping down from the ceiling like Mission Impossible. However this is working. But this is one of those times where God says, I'm going to save you from the trap. This is why counting on a Lot lifestyle, hoping that God is just going to be merciful and say yes. I mean, no, more times than not, when we're like Lot, we get close to the trap, it snaps, and the rest of our life has the consequences of sniffing the cheese. No one is immune. No one is exempt. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. The New Living Translation says the temptations in your life are no different than from what others experience. This is not just a Lot thing. This is not just a Sodom thing. This is a you thing. This is a me thing. This is an us thing. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted more than you can stand. He's going to say, get away from the trap. It's going to snap. The cheese isn't worth it. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out. And as we're going to look into the next section here in chapter 14, Lot had an opportunity. He had an opportunity after he was rescued as a prisoner of war to come back to Uncle Abraham, who rescues him. You'd think, you say, you know what, should I go back to the place where I was captured, held as a prisoner of war, everything was taken? But we go, whew, missed that one. At least I got all my stuff back. Where's Sodom? I want to get back to Sodom. I want to live the Sodom lifestyle without actually saying I'm living the Sodom lifestyle. Chapter 13, verse 1. Abraham left Egypt along with Lot, but Lot didn't really leave, at least not in his heart. Verse 5. Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, had also become very rich. You know, it's interesting. Sodom and Nineveh, two places, two sinful places, both of them condemned by God to destruction. But you have Jonah, who, even as a reluctant prophet, says 40 days and then the judgment. Then you have Sodom. God was willing to spare Sodom. If only there had been 10 people. Think about the intercession process that Abraham went through, the sweat, the travailing, the anguish. What if there's 50? Certainly there's got to be 50 in his company. Certainly his manservants, his maidservants, the relatives. Maybe it's 50, but you know, I remember there's that guy, and he was, what about 45? What about 30? What about 10? What about 20? What about 10? And God says, I'm not going to destroy it even for 10. Yet 10 people can't be found. Only Lot, his wife, and their two daughters. Even should have been 6, but they're sons-in-laws, their fiancés-to-be, think that he is joking. You see, God would much rather have a Nineveh kind of ending when we repent than a Sodom kind of destruction. You see, there are 3 different kinds of people in this story. We have Abraham, who is following God and is an instrument of salvation. We have Lot, the man who was saved, even dragged out of Sodom. And then we have the Sodomites, the people of Sodom, who are destroyed. And so we have to ask ourselves, where are we at in this spectrum? Am I one of the ones who is interceding? Lord, I just pray for this person. Lord, I know the direction they're going in their life. My life used to be in that direction. Lord, save them. Have mercy on them. Show your grace on them. Are we the ones who say, thank God I have been saved? We were all Lot. The challenge of discipleship is to become Abraham and pray for those who are still in Sodom. Verse 7 of chapter 13. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen. You see, it's Lot's at unrest. And what is going on in here often shows up somewhere else. Because we know that it's not just a herdsman thing, because if it was a herdsman thing, we'd have just said, hey, you guys do your job. We're gonna separate a little bit and we'll live happily ever after. But it's the wisdom of Abraham that says, this isn't gonna work out long term. Then verse 10, Lot took a long look. I love that. Lot took a long look. How about a longing look, or a look of longing at the fertile plain of Jordan, the valley, the direction of Zoar? We already mentioned that. The whole area was well watered like the garden of the Lord, beautiful like the land of Egypt. There it is. Lot never really left Egypt. I left my heart in Egypt. That's pretty much what it is. It's not San Francisco. He leaves his heart in Egypt, but he takes a longing look. It's not just a, those trees are better than over here. I mean, no, he longs for it. The wickedness in his own heart, the sinful nature that has come as a result of the fall and what is inherited through Adam and Eve, he takes a long look. Yeah. I like that. You know, the first look, when we talk about purity, it's not the first look that is the sin. We see something, it may be beautiful, it may be appealing to our eyes, but it's the second look. It's the long look. That's where the sin shows up, and here all of a sudden, Lot's taking a long look. He's taking a second look. Verse 11, Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley, the east of them, and they parted company. Abraham moves one way, maybe not necessarily the greenest part, but God says, that doesn't matter. I can plant things. I planted a garden once, if you remember. I can make this really nice. This is my way. Lot's going his way. James is going to tell us this about temptation as we take the long look. He says this in James 1, 14 through 15. Temptation, the temptation that comes from our own desires and entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. This is where we find Lot pitching his tents near Sodom. This is being dragged away, then living in Sodom. This is the sinful actions. And then when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. This is Lot on the city council. It says that he is at the gate of the city. Let's take a look at chapter 14. Now we're moving right along. This point is called Warnings Go Unheeded. Once again, Abraham is a man who is not willing that any should perish. He is like Jesus in this way. He could have said, Lot, you get what you got coming to you. But no, not only is he praying for his nephew, he is risking his neck. He has 318 trained men in his household. You know, if Abraham had found himself in Sodom, it wouldn't even be a question if there were 50. He's got 318 men in his household who are willing to follow him, do what he is doing, worship his God, and are bearing the mark of the covenant of circumcision, every man in his company. So I just think it's interesting that we say 318 trained men. This is way more than 50. The question isn't how righteous am I enough to pass the test? It's how righteous can I be? Not how close can I get to sin, but how close to God can I be? 318 men, and miraculously, these guys defeat all these other kings, and they rescues Lot. Verse 15, Abraham recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew. He didn't just say, okay, you good from here? Okay, I'm gonna go home. No, he brings him back. How often does God bring us back? How often do we have the wake-up call? I am so thankful that God gives us the wake-up call. However, most of the time, we do this. whew, dodged a bullet. What God says is a wake-up call, we call a dodged bullet. And we go right back to it. He was near Sodom. Now he's in Sodom. He was living in Sodom. Now we're going to take another little jump here, four chapters to Genesis 18. It's the whole story, so we're not just all over the place. This is the next part of the story, the next scene, and we're kind of making the whole movie of Lot's story here. So Genesis 18, 16 through 33, we'll just take a peek here. Then the men got up from their meal and walked towards Sodom. Remember last week, three men, God himself, comes to Abraham. One of them is the Lord. And the Lord remains with Abraham. And you ever wonder why the Lord didn't say, nice conversation, we got this thing to do in Sodom, we're going to check and see if the report is exactly what we've heard. No, there's two reasons why the Lord remains with Abraham. First, Abraham and the Lord have a relationship. They want a fellowship. Now they get some time alone with one another. Now they can talk with one another and share their hearts. God is sharing his heart saying, I'm going to have to destroy this place. And Abraham says, well, what about this? Okay, no, they go back and forth. But the other reason is that God can't go to Sodom. God's not going to say, hey, I'm going to go walk in this place. I'm going to stay here in a covenant friendship. I'm not going to go walk in Sodom. This is the reason that Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had to look away because Jesus had the sin, your sin, my sin. God says, I can't go there. And even when he looks at Jesus, says, I can't look at it. That's why he stays. Verse 22, the other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away both the righteous with the wicked? And we see him whittling him down. Some people are thermostats. Some people are thermometers. Some people are the ones that when they walk in the room, they set the pace. They set the atmosphere. When they walk in, you go, okay, you know, the boss comes in or someone important, the guest of honor walks in, the host of the party, whatever. But some people, they walk in, you know something's different in their life. They're the ones who are setting the pace. Abraham is a man who is setting the pace. You know, he's taking the temperature and he's turning it down. It's 50 degrees all the way down to 10 degrees. He's a thermometer, he's a thermostat, while Lot is just reflecting the world around him. It's pretty hot over here. It's gonna get a whole lot hotter. And I'm reflecting what is around me. I wanna be a thermostat. I wanna be the kind of person that when I walk in the room, and I pray that for all of us, that as we walk in the room, we're the ones that all of a sudden, the people stop swearing as much. The dirty jokes stop. The gossip stops. Well, I know she's not going to deal with that gossip. She doesn't do gossip. So, you know what I mean? And when she leaves, I'll tell you the story, what really happened. I want to be a thermometer. I mean, I'm getting them all mixed up. Pardon me. I want to be a thermostat. Let's take a look now at chapter 19. We'll hang out here till the end. You know, it is hard to imagine what life for Lot would have been like without a godly person in his life and God's intervention. It is hard to know what our life would be like, but by the grace of God, without godly people speaking life into our life, and but by the grace of God and God's interaction. Lot's a guy who is just reflecting what is around him. Let's take a look at verse 1. That evening, the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there at the entrance to the city of the gate. He's on the city council. We've gone from near to in to on. Lot's a guy that this is the path of least resistance. Eking out a living out here in Zoar, It's a whole lot easier if I can just run to Sodom's Walmart and get what I need. It's a path of least resistance. Whereas Abraham is out there, he is in the wilderness and he is seeing the stars and he is worshiping God. He says, all right, I'd like through the drive-through here, I'd like my burger and fries, and can I get a large Coke with that? He's enjoying God's presence. He is taking it fast and easy and cheap. Verse 2, my lords, he said, come with me to wash your feet and be my guests for the night, that you may get up early in the morning and be on your way again. When God was hanging out with Abraham, they stopped to talk for a while. It wasn't a rushed appointment. They stopped to talk. They conversed. They shared each other's heart because they're friends. Lot wants to get these guys out and on their way as quickly as possible because of two things. First, the longer these angels stay, the more of Lot's own heart is going to be exposed. And it's a dangerous city. And since we got the little kids in here today, we're not going to take a look at verses 5, 6, and 7. You can read those at home for yourself of just how depraved this culture was. Verse 9, stand back, they shouted. This fellow has come as an outsider, and now he's acting like our judge. Lot had compromised so much that his testimony, that his witness was completely trashed. I don't know about you. And I know there's areas in my life, and I know there's relationships where in my life where I have totally blown it. And I know that, short by the grace of God, at least it wasn't because of, you know, it wasn't because of something I did or said that led them to God. I was probably more of a detraction from God in their life. I've been here. I know what this feels like, and we all do. I'm sure there's pictures of people in our mind where it's like, I really blew that one. My life, at least in that season, was so unchristlike that nobody would even know I was a Christian. I've shared part of my testimony before. I was doing some stand-up routines and doing stuff, and a friend of mine said, aren't you going to be like a priest or something? Well, you know, a pastor, yeah. Well, I never know you were a Christian. This fellow has come down as an outsider. Now he's telling us to be acting like our judge. That's one of those times where the arrow of the Lord's love goes right to the heart, and I go, I know what that's like. I know how that feels. Verse 10, but the two angels reached out and pulled Sodom into the house because these guys are lunging for him because it says, we will treat you far worse than these men. Now all of a sudden it's not Lot trying to protect these two angels. The angels are now protecting Lot. Meanwhile, the angels, verse 12, question Lot, do you have any other relatives in the city? Because apparently there are not 10 people here. Get them out of this place. And he talks to his sons-in-laws, and because his compromise, his witness is so through the trash can, they think he's joking. Yeah. You mean that God thing, that God guy that, when's the last time you were at church? When's the last time you opened your Bible and you're talking about the sky is falling, Chicken Little. And in this case, the sky really was falling. Verse 14, Salat rushed to tell his daughters and fiancés, quick, God is about to destroy this place. But the young men thought he was joking. And at dawn, the next morning, the angels came and insisted, hurry, get out, take your wife, take your daughters, get out of here, get out right now, or you'll be swept away in the destruction of the city. And Lot even still hesitates. His brain is finally in a good spot, but he's still hesitating. And the Lord had to take his hand and drag him out. And when they were safely outside the city, the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere. And he says, well, can I get back to this little city called Zoar? Here's the thing. From Zoar to Zoar, he had a lot, and then Lot had nothing. There's nothing left. Jonathan Edwards says this about the grace of God. Take a look at verse 22. He says, "But hurry, escape to Zoar, escape to this place, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. The grace of God is so strong that he is holding himself back from the wrath of God." This is what Jonathan Edwards says in his sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," and we'll close it here and start to close it. "If it is true that judgment against your evil works has not been executed hereunto, the floods of God's vengeance have been withheld, but your guilt in the meantime is constantly increasing. There is nothing but the mere pleasure of God that holds the waters back, that are unwilling to be stopped and to press hard to go forward. If God should only withdraw his hand from the floodgate, it would immediately fly open, and the fiery floods of the fierceness of his righteous holy wrath would rush forth in inconceivable fury." This is where we stand. We stand in between God's love and his greatness and the wrath of his fury. And you know why we can stand here? Because of Jesus. So the question for us this morning, what path are we going to take? Yes, Lot was righteous. Not a righteousness of his own. He is the example of someone who has been saved, but from the flames. He got in by the skin of his teeth, by the grace of God. I want to have a better, more fruitful, joy-filled lifestyle. That life on the edge is way too adventurous for me. I want to have the life God has. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you, show us where our Lot heart is at. Change our heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change our heart, O Lord. May I be like you. Let us, Lord, take the Abraham route and chase after you as hard as we can. Thank you that you save lots just like me. Thank you that that's not the end of my story. I was Lot, and now hopefully, Father, and I pray the rest of us are walking the Abraham path. Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that says, I have been walking the Sodom path for far too long, Lord, save us so that we can walk with you. One little step of obedience in one direction, that when we look back and say, how did I get here, instead of how did I get here? Lord, open our hearts this morning. Pour into us. Show us where we need to correct. Show us where we need to change. But change our heart, Lord. Only the heart is going to change. In your name we pray.